You're listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, wandering through the internet on the Nebuchadnezzar. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And I'm your buddy, Mike the Ghoul, going to do his best to not turn into some version of a battery in some dystopian future.
Theo, I'd like to talk to you about the Matrix.
Also, your car's extended warranty.
Yeah! Neo, I'd like to talk to you about extending your car's warranty. Don't be a red pill. Renew now. Oh my god, the ad breaks we could do on the show. We had Jay and Oslodo on here, and we're like, we're not going to do ad breaks. Ah! And now we're like, oh, you know, we could do ad breaks. No, let's not get into this.
That'd be a great shop right there.
Shop now with Morpheus. No, let's not do that. But we want to talk about the Matrix because for some whatever fucked up, stupid reason,
right.
As I'm not trying to watch my language, Warner Brothers has decided that the absolute failure of the fourth Matrix movies means someone out there wants a fifth one. And
oh
why?
God, where do I start here? Like, I like these movies. And I feel like as long as Keanu wants to do the movie and do Keanu fun, like, I'm okay. But, like, I mean...
I feel like, okay, look, if they want to bring Keanu back and just let him fuck around and do dumb shit in the Matrix,
sure.
Okay, sure, whatever. Although, they barely gave him anything to do in the fourth movie. He just kind of wandered around and threw, like, pressure fireballs from his hands.
Yeah.
He didn't really fight for whatever reason. It was kind of dumb.
He felt lost the whole time.
Yeah, the whole movie felt lost. But, like, if you're gonna bring him back and do it, let him fight and just have fun being John Wick in the Matrix, and I'd watch that. But...
Yeah.
I think realistically, the best thing you can do for this franchise, one, is never make another movie again. But two, if you're gonna make it, have it be a new set of characters. Don't just keep rehashing the same fucking storyline because, God, it's gotten bad.
Yeah, and you want to talk like, you know, new characters here. Like, if you're gonna try to give me Agent Smith, you better damn well give me Agent Smith and not some guy telling me he's Agent Smith.
Yeah.
I am out. Like, I don't buy this guy as a threat.
No.
He wasn't the same person that you're trying to tell me he was. And if you do kind of lay that little foundation with the Oracle and between movies 2 and 3 or whatever, where she's like, you know, some parts you keep, some parts you lose. Like, okay, you kind of laid the foundation for characters maybe being replaced, but you can't replace Smith and try to tell me that this guy is Smith. Get out of here.
Well, and so that's a problem with a lot of it is, like, the characters they brought back that weren't the original two actors for Trinity and Neo.
Right.
They replaced them with guys that just were not as good. I like the dude who played Morpheus. He was in...
Sure.
He has a name I'm not even going to try and pronounce. But he was Dr. Manhattan and the Watchmen series. Sorry, spoilers for anyone who hasn't watched it. But he was Dr. Manhattan in the Watchmen series, and that Watchmen series was actually really kind of good, and I know...
It was pretty good.
Yeah, I know that the original writers, Alan Moore and so forth, would hate the fact that someone said that, but it was kind of good.
It was pretty good.
And he was great in that role. I felt like he was lost as Morpheus. Yeah, they just didn't give him enough to do playing a CGI character that's awful. You're not wrong about Agent Smith. I don't even know who that guy was. I'm not going to bother looking up his name because I don't care about him. But he did not sit there tasting every word of every line of dialogue he delivered. He was not Agent Smith. If he's not sitting there, like, enjoying the flavor of every word he delivers, it's not right. It's just not.
There was something Hugo Weaving brought as an actor to that character, you know, as being one of the best parts of the first, you know, three movies was Smith. You know, he seemed like this threat at the end of the first movie that was conquered, you know, Neo, you know, exploded him and, you know, movie found his, you know, place, you know, he had to die to become the one or whatever, what happened there. Sure.
Yeah.
And then Smith comes back and you're like, oh, maybe this guy is something. And then you kind of write the whole story of him being like, you know, the opposite side to Neo's coin and like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool.
I bought it.
I thought this was a neat little story here. And then, you know, everything happens. Spoiler alert, Neo wins, moves on, yada, yada.
Ooh.
And then you bring him back.
Again.
As somebody different.
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
No, you know, it ruins his story.
Yeah.
Even though I kind of feel like we didn't really even need the first two sequels because the first movie ended so well on its own. Like,
I never thought we would get them. I thought, like you said, it ended fine.
Perfectly. Perfectly.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing of, they started at a base point for Neo, and they let him escalate, and escalate, and escalate, until he's the most powerful force in that universe. And then the movie rolls credits and he flies off into the sunset. And you're like, this is perfect. You've taken him as far as he needs to go because he's undefeatable. The Matrix is fine. He is going to control it all. Yay. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, by the way, there's more story. And you're like, I mean, I'll show up for it, but I don't think I need it. And they could never come up with something to make his power creep better. It is definitely power creep, which is fine in one movie because you don't ever have to control him again. He's done. But when you have to then be like, oh, the agents just somehow figured out how to have upgrades, and you're sitting there going, shouldn't you have done this before the first movie? Like,
you're an AI that has basically taken over whatever remnants are left of humanity, and you control everything, and you're not prepared for having a situation or a contingency for one little blip in your equation. Yeah. Like, you don't have a factor for that. Like, it seems weird.
And they try to explain it. Oh, well, you know, this happens every generation, and we have to make Neo again, and so forth. And I'm like, some of this is kind of okay. I kind of like the morality choice you gave him, but this feels like a half-assed explanation to justify what you're doing, and if there's been this many iterations before, you should have already been able to tackle the Agent Smith virus and the Neo being able to jump into people thing, as opposed to doing a patch job for it 5 generations later. How did he beat him the other 5 generations then, if not this way? Like, there's no... I don't understand. I just... And then you can patch it?
Yeah, it's as an AI who controls everything, and that was a really difficult part of the movie to get through in the second one too. Yes. That whole the whole interaction with the I forget what he's called, the architect. Thank you. His whole little speech took an hour and 40 minutes of action and slowed it down to a crawl.
Round.
For 10 minutes. I don't even know what is going on, and I couldn't enjoy the end of the movie after that because I was still recovering mentally from what I listened to.
So there's a whole thing, like, and I know we've discussed it before. I've railed about this for 7 years now on the podcast of show don't tell, and the movie gets by just fine on a lot of showing, and then every once in a while, here's a breadcrumb, here's a little hint of something, go run off and do action, and it's very dumb, and it's just basically fetch quests the whole movie, but it's kind of enjoyably dumb. It's nowhere near as good as the first movie, where, yes, they do exposition dumps, but it's always towards an action set piece that works. This movie is like, action set piece. Oh, you know, we haven't actually figured out what the story is. Let's grind everything to a halt for 15 minutes and have Kentucky Fried Chicken's Colonel explain the plot to us, you know?
Yeah.
And it is just a grind. No matter how much they try and make us care because, oh, this is a fifth Neo, and now this is different, and he's in love and so forth. You're sitting there going, okay, but did we need it done in a 15-minute exposition dump? And the answer is no, because it's all telling and no showing, no matter how they dressed it up. They needed a solid rewrite. They needed someone, and I like the Wachowskis, they needed someone other than them to take a pass at the script and completely rewrite it before they took it into print.
If anybody paid any attention to Neo in the first movie...
Yeah.
You knew the choice he was going to make. So the fact that you got this architect doing some exposition for 15 minutes telling you about the choice that I know you're going to make when I know you're going to make the other choice, even though I'm telling you the choice you should make, it's a real waste of what a good movie could have been.
And also, it shouldn't always look like Keanu Reeves. The other iterations should have been other people. Like, there's a lot. There's a lot that's wrong with the second movie, and the third movie is just boring. It's all action and no substance. But this is the thing. The first movie was perfect. And then the fourth movie remakes the first movie.
It does. And what I enjoyed most about the fourth movie was the points of it when it knew how self-aware and ridiculous it was.
Yeah,
and
the first act.
Yeah, I could have used a little more than that. Like, the Merovingian coming back and being all disheveled. Like, that was kind of cool. And he really, like, looked like a guy that, like, yeah, you took me for a ride many years ago, and, like, you changed me. And you know, this is the world I live now, and this is all the consequence, you know, all the good you thought you did actually affects other people in a different way. Like, it tried to be some story, but at the same time, like, it just didn't have the feel that first movie gave. And you're never going to recapture that, and that's fine. But all you're doing is just spewing out content here again, which is, you know, a sad case for all the time if it happens now.
And let's think about it. What did Agent Smith's guy add to it? He did very little, kind of controlled Neo for no reason because he wasn't involved in that plotline, even though he was. And then decided he wanted to attack the Matrix again and make everyone into human drones, which is kind of what he already did and was stupid. Morpheus shows back up and doesn't do much of anything. He doesn't have the Morpheus role, so I don't know why they bothered with Morpheus. Like, the Asian chick, whatever her name is, I'm sorry, I did not pick it up. The girl who wakes him up from the Matrix. She was more Morpheus than Morpheus.
And I liked her as a character. I thought she was one of the better points.
She needed more to her. She needed the Morpheus role needed to just stay with her and not become Morpheus, so that we could have just had her doing the leadership thing. And she was charismatic, and I liked her.
Yeah, I liked her too.
Yeah, and then there's like, they bring back the architect as Doogie Howser, and don't get me wrong, Doogie Howser's a great actor. But you had, at this point, you had too many things going on and too many villains and not enough for me to care about for any of it. It was just so confused and so boring. And it's like, they had some really fun meta ideas in the first act, and then they were like, oh, now we have to write a story.
Yeah. I think, like, something else I really felt in the fourth movie was, like, it was, in a weird way, it almost felt like Jada Pinkett's character was more of a villain than anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, you saw what Neo did to give you what you have now, this life that's supposedly better, you know, this you don't have to live in fear. Like, this is what he gave you. And now he's coming to you saying, like, hey, I need some help now, and you're turning him down because you don't want to change the status quo that he created. It's a weird aspect to it. And, like, she gets it at the end, I guess. But, like, why are you pushing back? This dude saved your life.
Yeah. If they followed that and done more with that, that would have been interesting. But, again, they don't. They don't follow through on anything in that movie. So, the Wachowskis aren't involved in the fifth movie. And,
choice, I think?
They didn't even want to do the fourth one. Only one of them returned for it. And even then, it wasn't, like, it was a big deal. They have Drew Goddard, who wrote or directed Cabin in the Woods and helped done passes on that movie, and I think some of the Deadpool stuff and other things, and it's just, he's a good writer. Like, don't get me wrong, he says he has an interesting idea for a new Matrix movie, and sure, maybe he does, maybe that's fine. Maybe don't do it just a couple years after the last one bombed wretchedly in theaters and give everyone some time to think and breathe and not be around it. Like, clearly no one was hankering for a Matrix Legacy sequel because it didn't do well. So the last thing we're itching for is someone to come in 2 years later and go, hey, you know what you want? More Matrix.
Yeah. The promise of what, you know, could be is always going to draw people in. It's a pretty compelling universe. It's got Keanu. People love Keanu. He's just overall a great guy. And, you know, he's going to get my money for that. But it was not a successful movie, to your point. And to take a non-successful movie and then try to bring more from that franchise a few years later, like, you got some tough hill to climb here, guys. I hope you know what you're doing.
Well, and the thing is, it's like, what, when people think about the Matrix, what are they really thinking about? They're thinking about the first fucking movie. They're not sitting there going, oh yeah, you know, I love to sit down and watch all these movies over and over. No one's sitting there and watching every one of them back to back to back. When you go back and you watch the Matrix, you go back and you'll watch the Matrix. This isn't like a marathoning film series like some of the Marvel films or whatever. You get one, you care about that one. I've watched that one more times than I can count, and I think only because I run this website have I seen the second and third movies more than once.
The best part about the second and third movies is the fact they were released in the same calendar year and you didn't have to wait.
Yeah.
Because that they actually did that right, where they gave you the conclusion of a story in a very tight window, which, to your credit, with how bad they were, you had to kind of do.
Yeah, well, and you burned the disappointment off and you could go back and watch the first one again. Which
exactly.
I will buy in every new format that they put out. I think I currently have it in 4K Blu-ray because it's a pretty movie, despite it being mostly green, and it's such a well-made movie. Like, you watch movies from that era when they were all trying to do bullet time and the CGI and everything, and those movies don't hold up, but The Matrix looks as good today as it did when it came out, and it still slaps.
It does. I remember seeing that in the theater when it first came out, like in 1999. Mm-hmm. And those effects hold up 25 years later. They still look good. It looks like it belongs. It doesn't look like some hodgepodge of, you know, garbage special effects that have, you know, that have been thrown at you for the last decade.
Yep.
It works. And the characters are great. And like you said, the story ended after the first one, and it could have tied a bow around it and been
Just
and
been
you've
done.
been good.
Just been
It could
done.
have been fine. But then they I guess they decided they wanted to end the story that they started, which is fine, but they never were as good as the first one. They made money, sure, and it was fine, but they weren't as good. They just weren't.
It didn't have the message. It didn't have the pop of it. Like, the first movie basically says, what if we made a universe where a superhero could exist? And they did that. They developed him from origin story all the way to flying around like Superman. And you know the thing about Superman is he's undefeatable. Like, eventually he's always going to win. So I don't necessarily... Like, I like watching Superman movies, but, like, you got to come up with a good twist for it. And the twist of what Neo could do after that never really came together. They let him be too powerful in the first film, not thinking they'd get a sequel, and then they didn't know where to go with it from there. And even the idea they had for a sequel that they were originally developing, they threw away because a bunch of money were thrown at them, and they were like, oh, we could do something bigger, which I think was the wrong idea. Like, as much as that highway scene is great in places, it doesn't make the whole movie. It's a fantastic way that they filmed that building, like, what, 10 miles of highway and filming back and forth on it. It was really cool. I didn't need more of that. I mean, that...
The best part about the second and third movies are some of the action scenes.
Yes.
You know, some of the effects are really cool. The crash of the two trucks on that highway is legendary to see. Like, you know, you see all the folds in slow motion happening from, you know, the tractor trailers behind them. And then in comes Neo swooping in at lightning speed, grabbing them and taking off, and the explosion. Like, you know, the reaction of the dude in the chair who's the like the guy on the comms, like, yes, he grabbed them. Like, it's a cool moment. And you have little snippets of that, but even the consequence in the third movie of Trinity dying, I never really
it doesn't hit. Well, it's because she dies and then the movie has to keep going, and it's like, that should have been the end of a film, her dying, so that Neo has to figure out what to do in the next movie without her. But that's not what happens.
No, you get 20 minutes of him, you know, meandering his way blindly around this city trying to find the central hub. And you know, and he's like, you know, if that's the case, then just kill me now. I made a mistake coming here. And the machine's like, okay, all right, we'll hook you up and juice you in. Hang on. Like, what?
Okay. It was so weird. It was so dumb.
It was a weird choice. But the first one, like you said, legendary good.
Yeah, legendary good. And they could have ended it, and I would have been fine. But now we're getting a fifth one, and I'm, even after talking to you about it for, like, close to 20 minutes, I still don't understand. It's, you have an idea. That's fine. You have an idea. Go write a fucking webcomic, okay? We don't need you to make a $150 million fifth Matrix movie with no one involved and no one caring. I've gone and made a webcomic to go take my stupid ideas for a franchise I liked, and I never expected anyone to pay me for it. Like, oh, Hollywood is going to pay you to make another Matrix. Okay, I can't be mad at him for that. Someone's paying him to make the movie.
Someone's got to make money on this.
You know, good for him. He's getting to waste their money on this. Even if the movie doesn't make anything, he at least got paid millions of dollars. Good for him. Why can't they do that for me? I have a whole shit ton of Castlevania stories. Come on, Konami. Let's go make another Castle Matrix movie. I'm in.
Maybe listen to the fans, too, that have a love and passion for it, rather than somebody that's looking to line their pocketbook, too.
You know, I want to say that, except for the fact that didn't we just bitch, like, three or four podcasts ago about the fact that Square asked their fans, well, what are you looking for in a Chrono Trigger sequel? And we were just like, shouldn't you fucking know? Like...
I mean, look, you, sometimes, you know, sometimes you're the bird, sometimes you're the statue. It just kind of depends on what side of the coin flips that
way. Oh, my God. It was like, what is the message we're sending on this podcast, dude? Like,
mixed if
nothing
else. Mixed
messages.
We're just here to have a conversation, tell you our thoughts, tell you what we think. Take that for what you will. But look, I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth. Like, when it benefits me.
You're sitting going, God damn it, Mike, don't call me out on this.
Fair's fair, though. Good point.
All right. With that failure of a discussion right there. Because I still, like, I'm sitting here bitching about this and something like, but anyway, I guess it's okay if they get paid, too, you know. Neither of us have a good point. There's no leg to stand on here. No one wants this movie, but we're all both going to be, fuck it, I'm going to show up and watch it anyway. You know I am.
You got Keanu, you're going to get my money. It's that simple.
There was a point where they were discussing doing a, before the fourth one came out, they were thinking about doing a reboot sequel kind of thing, which I kind of alluded to a way that you could do it on my website at one point. Like, if you redid the opening of the first movie, but instead of having him fail to exit the office building via the window, maybe that be the break point for this next generation, and, like, suddenly he's actually on a different path, but he kind of remembers the old path, and you get, like almost like a sliding doors, this is what could have happened, but this is what he's doing instead. Here I am referencing a Gwyneth Paltrow rom-com for The Matrix, Sliding Doors. All three of you that have watched both of those movies out there, thumbs up to you. But like,
variety is the spice of life,
right,
man.
You gotta, it was when Gwyneth Paltrow was actually kind of okay and not part of Goop.
A movie with Matthew McConaughey that I like quite a bit. Failure to Launch or something like that, I think it was, or whatever. That was a pretty good movie, too.
Instead of Keanu coming back, they were gonna recast Neo as Michael B. Jordan. You know, Killmonger.
Oh, yeah.
And then they decided to just go make the other fourth movie that we actually got. And I'm sitting there going, I'm almost as mad about this as I am about how Tim Burton threw away the concept they were developing for another Planet of the Apes movie to make his fucking Planet of the Apes movie. Like,
right.
I'm a little angry about that, because that could have been good. Like, you put Michael B. Jordan in anything, and it's gonna be good. I mean, honestly.
I liked him. He does a lot of really good stuff. He's good in Creed. He was good as Killmonger. He's just a solid actor. So I could see that. And, maybe we'll be fortunate enough to get something like that at some point. But I mean, again, to your point, there's a lot of, Hollywood just doing some of the status quo and just kind of shoving the same shit down your throat. And, some of us are tired of it.
Well, and I feel bad for him too, because he could have been Neo in a fourth movie until they threw that idea out and went and did something else. He was supposed to be Val-El, the character's name. It's the Kryptonian from Earth 2. He's a black man Kryptonian, and he's really interesting. They were going to do a Val-El movie for HBO Max at one point, and then HBO Max just exploded and became something else, and WB canceled all their good ideas. And like, would you guys stop dangling franchises in front of Michael B. Jordan and then taking them away so he gets to go do something else? He makes money as Creed, I'm happy for the dude, but I would have liked to have seen him as Neo,
It would have been really cool to see. He's a good actor, and he's got some range. So, don't waste this man's talent, Hollywood.
Don't waste Michael B. Jordan. If there's anything to learn from The Matrix, it's don't waste Michael B. Jordan.
Take that lesson for what you will, Hollywood.
Come on. How was that not obvious, everyone? Clearly, you watched the movies. You should have known this.
Yeah, just a thought, guys.
Oh, well. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, writing our reboot of the Killmonger universe. I'm your host, Mike Winkelstein.
And I'm your buddy, Mike the Ghoul. Thanks for coming out, everyone.
We will see you all next time. Every time I can do that voice a little. It's not the perfect Morpheus voice, but it's like, Neo, I like to talk to you about The Matrix. And
I did what I did because I had to.
And then I always think of, I don't know if you've watched Clerks, the animated series.
Oh my god, I love
that. So good.
I haven't seen it in so long, but I remember watching just like some of them were just so good.
Weird! But I do love that thing in the last episode where Morpheus keeps calling Dante, and he's like, Neo, I'd like to talk to you about The Matrix. I'm not interested in that! Oh, well, we don't have to talk about it. We can talk about something else.
Just so good.
So dumb! Okay, we can stop talking about Clerks now and having me do my terrible Morpheus voice. Let's actually record the podcast.
I got a refresher on that. That's such a good animated series. It's underratedly funny.
It is good.